This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Brothers and sisters, we come to another session on Musa and Harun alayhim as salatu wasalam. Allah be pleased with them. They were the closest individuals to Allah on the earth when they walked on the earth. And subhanallah, Musa alayhi salam, he was seen in Mi'raj by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. First when he was going to Masjid al-Aqsa en route, according to Sahih Muslim, he saw Musa alayhi salam praying in his grave. So Musa alayhi salam praying in his grave. This is Sahih Hadith of Muslim. Now obviously this is ruh. It's not that the whole body gets up and starts praying. If the body gets up, there's a problem, right? You got the whole soil and everything on top of you. So it's his ruh. He saw his ruh praying in his qabr, in his grave. Then he saw Musa alayhi salam on the sixth heaven. Alayhi salatu salam. He had a conversation with him several times on that night. Okay, so this is a very great prophet who is very close to us. More closer to us now than the Jewish people, because we are actually more closer on the ways and the revelations of Musa alayhi salam than anyone else on the earth. That's our belief. Obviously the Jews will believe they are closer to him. But our belief is that we are closer to Musa alayhi salam in the revelation that came to him. We have got the best and the most sahih and the one that has been untouched revelation in the on the surface of the earth. Other revelations have been tampered with, and that's our belief. Now, where we got up to is that Musa alayhi salam he's having a conversation with Allah Azza wa Jal. And he had a long conversation with him. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he said to him a lot of things, starting from the moment when he told him, you know, when he starts speaking to him and telling him who he is, and then Musa alayhi salam throwing his stick down, and then Musa alayhi salam running away. And then Allah telling him to take his stick again by touching the snake, and it turns into a stick. And then Allah tells him about, you know, Musa alayhi salam then says to Allah, Allah, I need Harun to be my backing. Allah says, okay. And then he tells Musa alayhi salam about his life story, about his history, you know, in a very short way, about his birth, about the time when he killed someone, and so on and so forth, okay? Right to the point when Allah is telling him now to go to Fir'aun. Okay, so this is a big challenge to Musa alayhi salam, a big one. Because no man dares speak in front of Fir'aun and tell him that he's in the wrong except that he faces death. Okay, this is one great thing. And Musa alayhi salam has got a mu'jiza, he's got a miracle in his hand, which Allah has given him two miracles. One is the stick, second is the hand that he puts into his left armpit and takes it out and it becomes beaming white. Now he's got these two and he has to go to Fir'aun. And at this moment Allah is advising him, and this is the last point that we came to last week, ayah number 44 of surah number 20. Allah says, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا. Say, both of you go and be gentle in your speech. Be gentle in your speech to Fir'aun, so that he may take heed and he may fear. Now this is important part. I mentioned something last week. I'm going to mention something to you again this week. When a person has a debate, there's going to be someone on the haq and the truth and someone on falsehood. Someone who will have the winning argument and someone who will have a bit of the losing argument or the losing end. Someone who is clearly on the right and someone who might be on the wrong. Now, it happens. You know, I know sometimes you can have a gridlock where two people are both saying things like he's got a few things right and he's got a few things wrong and so on. But this is one simple message. This is not one of those arguments where you can get into it and say, well, I've got a few right points, you've got a few right points, and I might be wrong in a few things, you might be wrong in a few things. It's nothing to do with it. It's a simple message. The message is going to be that he has to go there and tell him to believe in Allah and to stop his dhulm and oppression and to release Banu Israel, all of them, stop enslaving them and allowing Musa alayhi salam to take them away from Egypt. Now, the message is also going to be to him that he has to also stop saying that he is the Rabb, he is a Lord in his own way. Him and his council have to stop worshipping the gods that they've got. And overall, the system of zulm and oppression, they have to stop. Okay? In all these factors, Musa alayhi salam is 100% right, and Fir'aun is 100% wrong. Do you understand? This is one of those arguments where there's no ifs and buts. There's no, look, I'm doing this for this reason, for that reason. Okay? Now, when you get into a situation like this, like I've been in debates and discussions, you know, sometimes you get into it, it's very... It's funny how people react. Funny how people react. Especially someone who's got power. Someone who got the dignity. What they will do at some point is, let's talk about our common world here now, yeah? If you corner someone in a debate, and they feel that, man, I'm feeling embarrassed here. I'm feeling he's got me here. You know what they do? They will throw an emotional argument. When a man has got no logic, he can't beat you in argumentation of using his brains in logic, he will try and overpower you through emotions, anger, through saying that, you know, just talk about something else, all right? Say that you were wrong in something else. Say that you're rude man, the way you speak, you know, look at the way you speak, that's it, that becomes issue. You understand? People do this. People look for excuses. They say, the way you came to me, the way you approached me, the way you said it to me. Yeah? It's the way you said it that I can't accept. Forget the issue itself. They say, why did you say in front of him? Why? That's it. That's the issue now. Why you say in front of him? Why do you say it to him privately? So even if you go to them privately and say, they'll say, oh look, that's enough, I've heard you. Okay, that's fine, it's good, just go. And you bring it up again, because it's not changing. You bring it up again. The guy will say to you, stop, you know, just stop it. Why should I stop it? You've told me once, you've told me two, you think I haven't heard you? I've heard you. So you carry on telling him the truth, telling her the truth. They say, listen, now you're bugging me. Understand? Now the issue becomes you're bugging me. You're spying on me. You're policing me. You're badgering me. You know, you've repeated this too many times. You're annoying me. You're pestering me. Do you understand? These are not emotional arguments. These are emotional arguments. They've got nothing to do with the issue. The person doesn't want to address the issue, so they make other arguments. And they wait for you to slip up. And if you slip up in something, that's it. That becomes the issue. So Allah's telling Musa alayhi salam that, look, don't give Fir'aun any excuses. I don't want him to come to me and say Musa was an angry man. And his anger made me feel angry. And therefore, I didn't believe in the message because he was wrong in the way he approached me. Do you all understand? Yeah. Allah's making it very clear to Musa. I said, look, don't give me excuses. Now the same thing applies to us with da'wah. There's a big lesson here. I said something last week, right at the end. I want to say a few more things this week. When you want to give da'wah, I do understand sometimes that, you know, you can feel that, la ilaha illallah, these people are not listening. Then you think, man, they're swearing at us. No, we're not swearing, okay? So they imagine some people are swearing at us. We don't swear. Okay, we just sit down. Then they start making mockery of us. Our imam says, look, don't make mockery. So we just sit down. Don't make mockery. Look, brothers, don't make mockery. Just sit down. So you sit down. Sabr. Akhi, sabr. Then they start picking on our, you know, sisters, or picking on something else, and writing really bad articles, or showing us in a really bad light. And you know, the heat is like swelling up. And then they get to like maybe swearing at something that's really to our heart. Maybe our prophet, maybe the Quran, maybe Allah, maybe something else, okay? Now at that point, most people, they will snap. Now what happens, I've seen most of these times, Subhanallah, most of these times, if you actually snap, if you swear back, if you retaliate, if you say rude words, they hold you against that for the rest of your life. They say, see, you Muslims, you're like this. Right. See, they don't wanna say that I also swore, you swore, you know, you swear, I swear. They don't wanna say that. They wanna say, how come you're like this?
You want me to become like you? How come you swear? How come you say these rude things to me? How come you do this? You understand? Now, of course, we're gonna say, look, you did the same thing. But my friend, you lost the argument. Why? Why have you lowered yourself to him? How he treats you? Why have you lowered yourself to how he is? Some people say, he made me do it. He made me do it. Listen, my friend, nobody can make you do anything. If you want to be a nice, disciplined person, you can just remind it about nice disciplined person. You can even ignore them. You can even ignore them. There are some people, sometimes they'll come to you and they will really try to wind you up because he just wants to wind you up. He's either jealous of you, whatever. But you can become your calm person when you want. It's up to you. Your act of swearing at him is separate as a sin of him swearing at you. So on the day of judgment, when Allah discusses, well, it's not going to be, Allah will say on the day of judgment, okay, who swore first? I want to punish him. I don't care about the swears after that. Who swore first? I mean, what do you mean who swore first? On the day of judgment, it's like, okay, you said this many swears. You said that many swears. Your, you know, account is for this many swears. You've got to answer for that. And your account is for this many swears. You try to hurt him this many ways. You try to hurt her in this many ways. I'm going to take all of that in account. Every single thing we do or say is separately weighed. So let's bear that in mind. And Allah is giving that. Why? Because the biggest zalim, the biggest oppressor, Allah is saying when you go in front of him, gentle. Speak to him nicely. Speak to him with a nice tone. Now, Musa alayhi salam says, you know, he's going to say a conversation to Allah azza wa jal because he's fearing. Before I get to this part, there's something left. There's something left from last week. I'm going to add a bit on, and I need to say this because some people, when they hear this story, they have certain questions come in their mind. When Musa alayhi salam came to the fire, what was the fire? Now, there's been a lot of tafsir in this. I'm trying to make it simple. Was it a fire of this dunya? Was it a fire of this earth? You know where he's speaking to Allah from at this moment? Is it a fire of the world, or is it not a fire of the world? So basically, some have said it is a fire, and some have said it's not. Some have said it's just a nur, it's a light. And some others have said that, you know, because the Quran actually mentions that there is a tree in that vicinity. So Allah says, Nudiya min shati'il wadil ayman. So from the right side of the valley, Allah calls out, or there was a calling, fil buq'atil mubarakah, in the place, the raised place, of a blessed place, a raised blessed place, mina shajara, where there was also a tree. From there was a sound that said, ya Musa inni anallahu rabbul alamin. Oh Musa, I am the Lord of the worlds. I am Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Now this is ayah number 30, surah number 28. Okay, now remember last week I said that the sounds were coming from all sides. It wasn't that there's a sound from one direction and so on. Now the thing is, we do not describe Allah or any of the features of Allah in a way that limits Allah. Okay, so let me say that again. We don't describe Allah in a way, in any form, any shape, any way that limits Allah. Allah is the greatest in every quality and in every way. So one of the questions that rises from here is, if Allah is eternal and He is out of time and space, then how does He speak to Musa alayhi salam, who is in time and in place? How can a God who is outside of time and place, who is eternal, communicate within time and space? Do you all understand that?
Yes.
You get it? If you don't get it, don't worry about it. If you don't get it, don't worry about it. Because I want to wrap this thing up really quick. So there's been a lot of conversation. If you look in our books, you will find a lot of these type of questions that came up. And the scholars of the past, they gave the answers. What kind of sound it was and how he heard it and all that. I simply want to say this. That to all these answers, I've got a beautiful answer. what's a bill. Because I know, look, you're going to dig into our books, you'll find this alim, this scholar said this, that sheikh said this, that imam said this, and subhanallah, and wow. You've got big, thick books on this. Seriously, thick books on explaining all the philosophical thing. I've got a simple thing to this, which is what? The day when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back from Mi'raj, and he came and he said in the morning, he said to the kuffar of Quraysh, he said to the non-believers and disbelievers of Quraysh, he said to them, last night I had the opportunity of being taken from this Masjidul Haram. I went all the way to Jerusalem. I visited the masjid there and I came all the way back here to the Masjidul Haram last night with my body and my spirit in a wake format. I flew there and I flew back on the Buraq, on this horse. It's an animal really. It's an animal like a horse, like smaller than a horse, bigger than a mule, whatever. You know, it's white, it's got wings, it's fast, it's wow. Buraq, this animal. Last night I did this. And you can imagine, already they've got all these issues with Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying this thing and that thing, and they're looking for a way to get back at our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, you can imagine what the Quraysh did. Some laughed, some thought, that's it, we've nailed this man. We've nailed him. They laughed, have you heard that? This man, now, he fly, man. He fly in the night. He think he see things. He's gone mad. He's a proper majnoon. I'm not saying this here, but I'm just interpreting what these people probably are saying. Okay, please don't throw your fatwas at me, yeah, please. La ilaha illallah. This is my prophet and sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, please. So they're saying he's majnoon. They're saying he's got to be mad now. If before we had doubt he's mad, he's got to be mad now. He's insane. So then they went around to the Muslims. And they said to Muslims, hey, you know your Muhammad, who you call a prophet, you know what he said? He said this. Last night he went, do you think it's possible in one night to go all the way from here, all the way to Jerusalem, and come all the way back? In one night? Do you think it's possible? They made certain Muslims' iman shake. Some Muslims, their iman shook with this question. You think about it, subhanAllah, a question shakes your iman. And they came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He went out for hunting or something. He came back en route to Makkah. He got the news from them before he got the news from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He hadn't yet heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell him this incident. He first met the enemies of Quraysh on the road path, and they said, "Hey, Abu Bakr, come here. You want to hear this? You know your friend, yeah? He said in one night, yeah, he went all the way there, come on." You believe in this? You know what he said? This is the answer he gave. He said, shall I tell you something? He said, I believe in something beyond that. And what? He said, forget him going from there to there and coming back on the earth. I believe from the sky there is wahi and revelation that comes to the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I believe in that. So because I believe in that, that's greater than you saying from Jerusalem, if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said he's gone from Makkah, Masjid al-Haram, to Masjid al-Aqsa in the night and he's come back, if he said that, then I believe in it. Because I believe in greater than that. Now you know what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's instead of saying, okay, you know, imagine somebody saying, okay, I'm going to prove to you how it's possible of a man going from Makkah to Jerusalem in one night. See, an animal with wings can fly. Now, if you get into this whole debate about an animal and wings, and you get, look, it's possible that Allah creates, say, an animal that the furthest it sees, you can go that fast, and you say, look, it's possible to fly. I don't care what argument you use. The moment you go into the kayf, which means the description of how it happens. The moment you go into the debate of trying to justify with logical reasoning how it happens, you, my friend, you've lost. Because they are going to use logic versus logic and they will wipe you out. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Or they'll get into deadlock, a gridlock, they'll say, look, you, me, nobody's right. Or both of us are right. They won't say both of us are right, but you know, you can't be right for this reason, for that reason, whatever, you know. You just can't prove it to them. What Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did, he bypassed the entire question and he said, look, why can't you see a man like me believes in something that you can't even see? And yet I believe it. If I can believe that, I can believe anything else he says. Yes or no?
Yes.
Right. Now, if you bring me the question, how did Musa alayhi salam listen to Allah? How did he listen to him? How did it happen? How would Allah speak to him? Allah is eternal. Allah is out of time and space. How did Allah come into time and space? Blah, 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 blah. Listen to me, my friend. I will simply say to you that I believe, just like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, I believe in greater things in this Quran. I believe fire becomes cool when Allah wants to make it. Yes or no?
Yep.
For Ibrahim, I believe a knife, sharp knife, doesn't cut when Allah says don't cut. I believe a stone comes out with water in a desert. In a desert. Smack a stone, comes out with water. Who did that? Musa alayhi salam, later on is going to come. Musa alayhi salam did that. He smacked the, middle of a desert, dry, hot, they're going to die, bake, hits the stone, water comes out. I believe in that. I believe it happened. I believe it actually happened. The water actually came out. 12 fountains came out. I believe that the whole sea split because of Musa alayhi salam, he put his stick there. I believe in that. This is what this book says. I believe a man went into a belly of a large fish. Stayed there for days, came out alive. Yes, we believe in that or not?
Yes.
Yunus alayhi salam. I believe that all from the Quran. I believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his finger split the moon. Yes or no?
Yes.
In the Quran, Surah Al-Qamar. If I can believe in all those things, why can't I believe in Allah? However he spoke to Musa alayhi wa sallam. Yes or no?
Yes.
Khalas. Finish. And if they say to you, well, how can you believe in a stone bringing water out? I say, listen, my friend, because I believe, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. I believe, once I believe this book has no doubt, that's it. I've crossed that pathway. Now, whatever my Allah says to me, whatever my Rasulullah says to me through authentic sources, is something which is my belief. And if they can't comprehend that, then they haven't come across to where I am. Now if you, there's another section to this, because some of you will probably sit there and say, okay, fine, but how can you say, where's your, I'm going to summarize it for you. I need to do a whole talk on this. But at some point I'm going to do a whole talk on this, but I'm going to summarize it for you. If somebody says to me, well, what's your iman based on? What's your belief based on? If you ask me that, I will tell you my belief is based on the miraculous nature of this book. How? Apart from it can't be changed, it has never been changed for 1430 whatever years. Apart from that, I'm going to say to you, just any part of the Quran, the way it's read, it's recited, the way it sounds, the way it's been constructed, the way the Arabic is in there, which I've got no time to explain to you right now, the meaning of it. I'm sitting here talking about the Prophet's lives and I'm spending hours and hours talking about that. This is the tip of the surface. You go into the books, you'll see so many deeper meanings of the whole of the Quran, the way Allah's constructed it, the sounds that it has, the power that it has, all the different, Surah Fatiha, simple surah like that, the beginning chapter. If you just analyze that with its complexities, the meanings, the deeper meanings, how much it brings out just in one surah, you think, La ilaha illallah, this book cannot be. I am absolutely convinced this book is not the writing of a man. But that's after me studying Arabic for so long and knowing the deeper sciences of the Quran. It's got so many other things I just can't say in these few words. But anyway, It will need an entire discussion. Then if you question me further, well, what's that based upon? I have to put two things together. I have to put the book and I have to put Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam together, and combined with the two and many things within the two, I can present to you my argument of my belief. I'll give you one quick secret. If you ever try and prove the existence of God or the truth from one angle, it can sometimes be snipped. But if you try and prove it from several angles, you create a strong structure and an argument. You all understand that? You understand? I've got a lot to say on this, but I don't want to divert too much. Anyway, let's get back to the actual tafsir of the surah. So Musa alayhi salam, Allah has told him to go to Fir'aun. And Musa alayhi salam, he says, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا نَخَافْ أَن يَفْرُطَ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ أَن يَطْغَى. Oh Allah, we have fear. Me and my brother Musa, we're going to fear that this man is going to exceed in what he might do to us. Because the man is a great, great oppressor. Allah said, لَا تَخَافَ إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Allah said, you and Harun, both of you don't fear, because I am with both of you. I will be listening to everything and I'll be watching everything. I'll be with you. Okay? فَأْتِيَهُ. Go to him. This is all in Surah number 20, Ayah 46, 47 and so on, Ayah 45. Go to him. Both of you say, إِنَّا رَسُولَ رَبِّكُ. We are the messengers of your Lord. فَأَرْسِلْ مَعْنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Send with us, release Banu Israel from their enslavement. وَلَا تُعَذِّبْهُمْ. Do not punish them anymore. قَدْ جِئْنَاكَ بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ. And Allah tells him what to do as in a plan when he gets there. Okay? Now, when Musa alayhi salam gets there, there are several things that this man does. This man is not an easy man to take over because he's a politician. I told you that this story is going to have a lot of politics. And also, don't forget what I said about the arguments. This man is a master of twisting arguments. A master. You know, they say that the more cunning a person, the better the politician. Do you understand that? The more cunning and sly a person, the better politician he can become. And Fir'aun was a master of this. Let's see what he does. Okay? So we got several places in the Quran. We got one place, Subhanallah al-Azim, Surah Shu'ara, Surah number 26. Surah number 26. Allah says here, Musa alayhi salam added on. He said, وَلَهُمْ عَلَيَّ ذَنْبٌ فَأَخَافُ أَنْ يَقْتُلُونَ. وَاللَّهِ, I'm also fearing, because I killed a Coptic, that I'm a criminal in their law. According to the law, I'm a criminal. So I fear they're going to actually, straight away when I go there, they'll surround me and they'll kill me. Do you understand? No one's going to come to rescue Musa alayhi salam. Allah said, Kalla, never. He's going to kill you, never. Fadhaba, both of you go. Bi ayatina, with my signs. Inna ma'akum mustami'un. I'm going to listen carefully to what happens there. Go and tell him. You know, the same message is there. Okay. Now, in surah number... because the story is in several different surahs and each one gives you a different flavor. Okay. So, in this surah, in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah Azza wa Jal has told him that, when he says, Rabbi qatalt, inni qatalt minhum nafsan. Oh Allah, I've killed a soul, and I fear that they will kill me. When he says this is in ayah number 33 and surah number 28. Allah says, sanashuddu adudak. I'm going to give you some strength with your brother. And I'll give you sultan, I'll give you a great convincing way of getting through to Fir'aun. Now what's his convincing way? Now listen. So Musa alayhi salam, he goes there, and when he says to him, the message, he gets into Egypt, he comes into the quarters of Fir'aun, he's now escorted all the way to Fir'aun himself. And when Musa alayhi salam gets there, Musa alayhi salam now has to speak. He's got his brother with him. Harun alayhi salam. When he goes there, Fir'aun, one of the first thing he says is, you know, when Musa said, Arsil, release Banu Israel, and I'm a messenger from Allah. Fir'aun said, Alam nurabbika fina walida walabitha fina min umurika sinin. Now let me just say in a different language, for those of you who understand the language, okay? Then I'll get to English, because not everything is expressed in every language. So if I say in Bangla, people who understand Bangla will understand. Ebeta tora khabaisina ni. In Urdu you will say, maine tujhe khana nahi khilaya. Basically, did I not feed you food? Was I not the one who gave you the food that makes you this big? You would have no muscles, you have no bones, you would have no life if it wasn't for me feeding you. How dare you, out of all people, who I fed, comes to me and tells me what to do. Right? Number one. Look how smart this man is. Forget the message saying, hey, you lived because of me. Your life was dependent on me. You could have died in the water when me and my wife found you. I spared your life. So you owe me. Who do you think you are? You understand? Who in the world you think you are? You owe me your life. And you forget you owe me your life. You stayed with me for an entire part of your life. 20 something years I fed you. 20 something years I fed you. وَفَعَلْتَ فَعَلَتَكَ الَّتِي. Okay, then. You do a criminal act. And you disobey the system. You're a criminal in this system, the justice system that we've got in Egypt. وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. You're denying the what you have actually done, the crime that you did. Now Musa alayhi salam is helped by Allah to give answers. Now look, this is politics with politics, political statements with political statements. Are you ready? This is not just, oh, I gave an answer. No. This is politics with politics. Now listen. Musa alayhi salam says, whatever I did, I was in the wrong. And I'm in al-dhalim. Fafarartu minkum. I ran away. When I feared you guys might kill me. But then Allah bestowed on me such wisdom. I am now a wise man. I'm not the same man that you saw when an argument happened and I got angry little and I smacked him. I'm not the same man. I am who I am now because Allah, in these 10 years I've been away from your land, Allah's transformed me and He's made me a messenger. Do you see what Musa alayhi did? Instead of focusing on the actual killing and why and sorry and let's go into the details of the killing. No. He says, I'm a different man. I'm not who I was. Now, then Musa hasn't finished. He says, subhanAllah, this is real, real politics at its best. And Allah's teaching us, when you want to take on a politician, you have to give the best of politics. What did Musa say? He said, hey, I'll tell you in Bangla now again, okay? So, and then Urdu, because if I knew Somalian language, I would have said in Somali language, yeah. But anyway, he said, Amareze khabaiso, you know the food you gave me, you take my whole nation, you enslave them, they work, they pay you with their services, you get it from their sweat, and then you feed me. Did you feed me or did my people feed me? Do you understand? You feed me? Or these slaves who are my people, they fed me, they feed you. Subhanallah, he switched it straight on him. You telling me you fed me? Nah, we all feed you. How about that? You take us as slaves. Now this is a, subhanallah, you think about the depth of the answer that he gave. It's like he's turned it straight over. Now, Musa alayhi salam, he's switched over. Now, Fir'aun's obviously embarrassed. What's he going to say now? Now, Fir'aun's clever. Fir'aun's not going to get into a debate about the enslaved nation and how he makes them work and they sweat and he gets monies off them and their hard work. Fir'aun's too clever for that. Fir'aun says, so who's this lord of the creation? Who did you say? Rabbul Alam? Who's Rabbul Alam? Huh? Who is he? You understand? He's now switched the argument. And Musa answers. He says, "Rabbu Samawati wal Ardu wa Baynahuma." He says, "He's the Lord of the heavens and the earth and everything in between." So it's like heavens and the earth and everything in between is what, including you. Now he didn't say direct. Subhanallah. If you said to him, "Rabbu Samawat wal Ard wa Rabbu Fir'aun," or "Rabbu Misr." Oh, it's like saying Allah owns, if I imagine you go to a politician says Allah owns Britain and he owns America. Toba. You understand? You understand? Brothers, you gotta be careful. If you say that, you know, you'll be terrorist, right? So you have to say, you know, Rabbu Samawat wal Ard wa ma baynahuma, whatever is in between is his as well. Now it was an injection to Fir'aun. Now Fir'aun, you know, he's going to give injection again. Okay? He's going to give bigger injection. The Musa hasn't comes with a bigger injection. So Fir'aun said, this is in ayah number, all of this is in Surah 26, from about, you know, ayah 16, 17, 18. You carry on looking onwards, you'll find this. So Fir'aun now says, he looks around, and obviously, you know, Musa alayhi salam said such a nice argument. Okay? So he looks around to his courtiers. He says, "Hey, tumrahunna anyway." He said, "Are you guys listening? Sunrao, you're listening to this man." You know, it's like, you guys, you know, you listen to this guy, see what he's saying? He's challenging me. Like, he didn't say indirectly challenging me. He said, "You listening to him." So basically, Fir'aun is now appealing to his audience. He said, "You guys still with me, yeah? You wait what we do with this guy." Yeah, he thinks he's so tough saying these words. That's like an indirect threat to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam now, if he stayed quiet, then he would have been, you know, gone or finished. Musa alayhi salam didn't. He pressed on. He said, "Rabbukum wa Rabbu abaikum al-awwalin." He said, you want to know Rabbul Alamin? He said, "He's your Lord, the one who's provided you all this time. It's your Lord. And abaikum, you know, your dad and your dad's dad. You know, the whole pharaonic system. The whole of Misr, where you have become a king, you're the king's king and the king's king's king. All these kings, the whole of it, he's the Rabb of all of these pharaohs." Now Musa alayhi salam has said this, now it's getting very personal now, yeah? So now Fir'aun says, he says, hey, messenger of yours? This messenger of yours? The one who's been sent to you, Lord? Majnoon. It knocked in the head, you know, knocked in the head. Right? He's mad. Now, Fir'aun's throwed a very slight personal thing at Musa. But don't forget, this is serious. This is not just two men having a little banter here. No, this is serious, because any moment, Fir'aun can just say, kill him. And that's it. End. Nobody's ever spoken to Fir'aun ever to this degree. So Fir'aun, one, he's shocked, and second thing, he's like, okay, you guys, you're getting a hold of this? This guy's crazy, right? Now he goes into further. Musa alayhi salam goes further. He says, "Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghrib." He says, "The furthest you can see in the east, the furthest you see in the west." He said, "Forget you and your forefathers." He said, "All on this land, east or west you go, that is the same Allah who provides the east, who provides the west, who provides the skies, who provides the earth, who provides you, your forefathers, who provides everything in between." Now he's put it straight. Now Fir'aun, obviously, now is being really threatened with his position. So what does Fir'aun do? Fir'aun's smart. He's smart. Now let's look at Surah number 20, ayah number 51. Ayah 51, he says, you know, Musa alayhi salam just said that you and your forefathers, Fir'aun thought of a quick one. The man sharp, a quick one. He said, "Fama balul qurunil ula." Ayah 51, Surah 20. "Fama balul qurunil ula." Okay, Musa, So you're saying that this Lord is the Lord of my forefathers. Yes. Now, Fir'aun's forefathers are dead or alive?
Dead.
Because he wouldn't be king if they were still alive. Okay? Fir'aun's forefathers dead. He said, okay, tell me, where are they right now? You understand? Because now, if Musa alayhi salam says, your forefathers are in hell. Oh boy. Fir'aun does not need anything else. He's going to say, did you hear? He's saying, oh, your dad, my uncle, your uncles, old granddad. In hell. You're going to stand this man saying that? He don't need any argument now. They'll kill him without him saying kill him. So subhanAllah, what a position he put Musa alayhi salam. فَمَا بَالُ الْقُرُونِ الْأُولَى What about all the generations before? Huh? Where are they? So Musa alayhi salam, instead of getting into the debate of, okay, maybe they're burning right now, but they're burning shallow. You know what I say? Like, instead of going into any debate, he diverted. See, sometimes in politics, you have to just divert the whole question. You have to do it. And you have to say something that is sensible, meaningful, but it's diverting the question. So that's exactly what Musa alayhi salam did. Ayah number 52, surah number 20. عِلْمُهَا عِنَّ رَبِّي فِي كِتَابٍ My Lord has it written in a book. لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى My Lord, when He's written it in the book about what's happened to them, He will not make an error, وَلَا يَنْسَى And My Lord will not forget them. الَّذِينَ Then He went on to one. Instead of going into, you know, instead of going into the whole thing about the people in hellfire, no. Look what Musa alayhi salam does. He switches about, my Lord has written in a book, Qadr of Allah is written in a book, right? My Lord has written a book, my Lord will not forget, Alladhi ja'ala lakumul arda mahda, the one who made for you this land of Egypt, a flat land. Wasalaka lakum fiha subula, the one who gave you the rivers, the river Nile was a big river for them in Egypt, the one who gave you these rivers. Wa anzala mina sama'i ma'a, my Lord is the one that brings water from the skies right down. Fa akhrajna bihi azwajan min nabatin shatta, and my Lord is the one that says he's brought all this green vegetation from the earth because of the water he gives you river Nile and gives all of you. Kulu wara'u an'amakum, you can eat what you want and you can live how you want. Inna fi dhalika la ayatin li ulil nuha. These are great signs for the people who understand. Minha khalaqnakum. And my Lord says that from this soil He created you. Wa fiha nu'idukum. And eventually you have to go back to that soil. Wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. And my Lord says He's going to take you back out from that same soil again. Wow. You know what Musa alayhi salam done now? Forget him asking about the people before. Musa alayhi salam says, hey, you know you? Forget asking about them. You better start thinking about yourself, boy. You better think about your own selves, boys. Because when you die, you got to go to that soil. And when you come up, what's going to happen to you then? Subhanallah, how he switched it on Fir'aun. Now Fir'aun getting... You can imagine, man, the man's patience is wearing off. So now Fir'aun's heard enough of this, you know, khutbah. You know, khutbah, sermon, is he had enough of this? So Fir'aun says, لَإِنِ اتَّخَذْتَ إِلَٰهًا غَيْرِي لَأَجْعَلَنَّكَ مِنَ الْمَسْجُونِينَ Ayah number 29, surah number 26. He says, you dare say that there is another one that people should worship besides me, I'll have you imprisoned right now. Now this is now getting serious. I'm going to imprison you. What I do to you afterwards is what I do to you afterwards. But I'm going to put you in prison. Now you might think, well, why didn't Fir'aun just kill him? Can you guys answer that? Why didn't you just kill him?
He's done in front of everybody.
He's done in front of everybody. But Fir'aun doesn't really need an excuse for everybody watching. Fir'aun could just say, look, just this man, he killed another man. Just kill him. He could have said that. Now, or he could, instead of saying, I'm going to imprison you, he could have said, well, I'm going to kill you. But he didn't give him the threat of kill. Anyone remember why? Allah is protecting, we know that. But another one?
His love for Musa at the young age.
No, not his love for Musa at the young age.
Who's,
thank you. Asiya is still alive. Asiya is still alive. What sometimes a woman can do, a thousand men can't do. You understand that? When a woman strikes a man's heart with love, that man, you can twist him around. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can twist that man around. A thousand men can't twist him around. One woman, what she can do with her love and beauty. Because he loved Asiya. And Asiya was so much in love of this raised son of hers. Not her real son, but her, you know, adopted son, whatever you want to call. He can't just kill him. He can imprison him, he can make a case, he can do, you know, there's a steps to go forward. He's got to get his whole council to agree to kill him. If it was any other man, he would have probably had his heart taken out before he entered the palace. But he can't. Fir'aun has to be careful of that. And Allah told him this when he was at the, you know, the Mount Tur. One of the things Allah said, why did Allah say, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي O Musa, you were left there for dead. But I put love from myself, I put love into the hearts for you. Why? Because not only did he do that in the time of birth, Allah is doing that again now. So that love of the Asiya for him is also becoming a shield for him getting killed. But anyway, he's been threatened now. You're going to be in prison. You step one more step forward, son, you're going to go in prison. Now this is a big threat. So what did Musa alayhi salam do? Musa alayhi salam now says, because now it's got to the stage where you make one more move, son, you're dead. Now if Musa alayhi salam doesn't do something big, it's finished. And this is what Allah told him. This is the plan Allah told him when he was at Mount Tur. He told him that when you get there, he said, okay, I will be listening to everything. But what he also said to him, this is Surah Taha, Surah number 20. Allah says, قَدْ جِئْنَاكَ بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ Allah told him, your plan is, you get to a certain point, you're going to say that you got a miracle from me. From me, Allah, I've given you a miracle. This is ayah number 47, Surah 20. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الْهُدَىٰ And whoever follows guidance, there'll be peace. Now, at this point, Musa alayhi salam said, ayah number 30, Surah 26, he said, أَوَلَوْ جِئْتُكَ بِشَيْءٍ مُّبِينٍ He said, what about if I show you a clear miracle? So Fir'aun thought, hey, man who grows up according to my hands, a man who I saw all his life, he's going to bring me a miracle. He said, Fati bi. He said, come bring it. In kunta mina sadiqin. If you are truthful, okay, you think you're truthful? Bring it, miracle, let's see it. So Musa alayhi salam fa'alqa. At that moment, he threw his staff onto the ground. He threw it. Fa'idha hiya thu'banun mubin. Now, Fir'aun's palace was a magnificent place. You know, people, when they build palaces, they don't make ceilings like me and you. You know, if you go to my house or your house, you probably can stand on your toes and just about touch the ceiling. Yes or no? Yeah? If you can't touch the ceiling, you get onto a little sofa and you can touch the ceiling. Yes or no? Yeah? If you can't do that, a little ladder and you can touch it. Yeah? You can't do that in a king's palace. You have to have scaffolding, mate, my friend. And you probably have to have several layers of scaffolding to get to their, you know, peak of the ceiling. These are high ceilings. Musa alayhi salam, when he dropped this staff on the ground, in Mount Tur, the snake became a slithering snake on the sand and Musa alayhi salam ran. This was just a snake slithering. Here, when he threw his stick, the serpent became so large that it filled the volume in this palace. Massive snake. Whoa! Caused so much fear in him. In Fir'aun, in all his men. Whoa! This man's come with such a large snake. This is a miracle right in front of their eyes. How can his stick turn into such a large snake? And then Musa alayhi salam standing there in absolute silence. Everyone silence. Musa alayhi salam does this. And they're all watching. It's all quiet. Everyone's scared to the limits. Puts his hand here. And Musa takes it out, and a light comes, so strong, like a very, very powerful torch light or a beam light that comes, that even Fir'aun has to, put his hands there, and he can't, he's blinded by this light. La ilaha illallah. Can you imagine the greatest king at the time? The man who's got so much power that everyone puts their forehead on the ground for him in Misr. That man now is hiding his face from the beam of light. Now this was seen by everybody. And then when he's taking his hand away, the light goes, he touches the snake. Wow, this is my pal, you know what I'm saying? Like, he touches the snake, turns to a staff, and he's got it in front of him. Now he's mesmerized the entire court. The council, the court, the soldiers, Fir'aun, everyone's like, ugh. Now what do you do? Fir'aun takes a breather. He says to his council next to him, they're all sitting on these wonderful chairs, large chairs. He's on a great throne, they're on large chairs. There's about 9 of them or something on the large council. So he turns around to them and says, he seems to have become a very professional magician. That's what it is. See, he's a professional, a very expert magician. And see, what he wants to do, what he wants to do is he wants to drive you, the council. He wants to drive me, he wants to drive all of you out of this city with his magic. This is surah number 26, ayah number 35. That's what he wants to do. Famadha ta'muru, council, what do you say we do with this man, huh? Now, Fir'aun sensed that some people have just been mesmerized by a wonderful miracle. He knows this. Now, this hit his heart. He knew, and his council knew that this is truth. And what Allah says in the Quran, why didn't they believe? This is in surah number 27. Ayah number 14. Allah says, وَجَحَدُوا First Allah says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَاتُنَا مُبْصِرًا When Allah brought for them, when my signs came to them, absolutely clear, there's no doubt in this. قَالُوا هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ They said that this is clear magic. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا They denied my signs. Allah is saying this. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا They denied the signs. وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ But when Musa alayhi salam showed them my signs, they were completely convinced that this was the truth. ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَ Two reasons why Fir'aun and his men, they denied my clear signs. Two reasons. Now listen to these reasons because we're going to get a good lesson from this. Allah says, ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَ They wanted to carry on oppressing and they wanted to carry on becoming the mightiest and the most powerful people on the earth. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ Now you look at how was the outcome of those who corrupted the earth. Now what we learn from this is, you know, any man who's in the wrong and who's in power and who's basically not giving in to you, one of the biggest reasons is because he wants to stay in power. That's it. You think money drives? Now some people, money drives them. Some people, you know, passions and desires drive them. But most of these tyrants, most of these people in these positions who are doing this corruption, it's the power. It's to remain above others. It's to be known as the leader. It's to be known as the one who is in charge. It not only happens in governments, it happens in all sorts of organizations. It sometimes happens in mosques. You know what I'm trying to say, like brothers. There's one case here. This is a true case. In East London, good few years back, Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilaihi Rajiun, there was few trustee members, they had some, you know, issue over who's going to be the chairman. So one of them got voted to be the chairman. Another trustee had a problem with that. So he went up to his door, to the chairman's, newly elected chairman's door. He knocked on the door. the chairman, newly elected chairman, opened the door, and this guy who's another trustee stabbed him. Stabbed him over chairman, over to hold the chair. He wanted to be the one in charge. Man, I could have told the guy, man, go to IKEA and buy yourself a chair, brother. Go to IKEA and buy yourself the biggest chair you want. If you're not happy, just go down to Harrods and buy what you like. But don't kill a man because you're not on the chair. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So you know, to remain in power, people sometimes go crazy. A lot of these dictators across the world, do you think they're staying for anything else? No, it's power. It's name, it's power, it's might. The military is behind them, they can do what they want. They got money, they got lust, all that comes because you're in power. If you're not in power, your money's going to stop. If you're not in power, the women slowly will not be interested in you. You understand? Those of them who are interested in women, they'll not be that interested because it's not in power. La ilaha illallah, what people do for power. I was watching this documentary a couple of weeks back. You've got a country in Africa, Liberia.
Yeah,
Liberia. Yeah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. They went to, there was about three leaders. My God, when I saw this, I couldn't believe. I lost my sleep when I saw this documentary. They called one of them General Rambo.
Yes.
Another one, General Naked Butt. You think I'm making this up? Go and research this stuff, yeah? La hawla wa la quwwata. You know what they did? You know what they did? This guy went in there and he interviewed them. This man, yeah? You think this is crazy? This part of the earth, what they did is, he went and he started to not only get corrupted, but he got so corrupted, he started to make the youngsters believe that if they kill, or what he used to do, this is now he's about to go and attack the other general. Okay, they're fighting for power. So what he did, he went himself, grabbed a young boy, snapped his head, killed him. Took his heart out, chopped it into pieces, gave it to each one to eat, little pieces, right? And they cannibalism.
Yes,
they chopped them, they ate the body, and then he said to them, strip down naked because you ate the blood, fresh blood of another man, the bullets are not going to harm you. So they used to strip themselves down. And they used to go and attack the other army. This just happened a few years back. This is not very, very far. He went, they used to attack them. And when they used to get them, they used to kill them. And they used to play football with their dead heads. This is real. I'm not making this up. This is real. And when the man is about to get caught, he goes to a church. He becomes a Christian. He says, Jesus, Jesus, get me. Yeah, and now the man says, "I'm a changed man. I'm a changed man.
I'm born again.
I see the light. Man, whoa! The guy killed, his army killed 20,000 men. 20,000. And what did he do for power? The other guy, what did he do? Power again. And the other guy's as corrupted as him. Like cannibalism, eating dead, eating flesh." La ilaha illallah. What people do for power. And this is a small part of history. Okay, so now Fir'aun and his men, just to remain in power, they're denying all of this. They're going to stay in power. If you think about the world, what's going on right now, most of these people are doing whatever they're doing for power. For power, to stay in oppression. Because you know what happens is, there's an addiction that comes with this oppression. You know, we've got a heart and you feel, man, I can't hurt this man. I can't touch him. But you know, why did Allah say, subhanAllah, this is one thing I want to say to you. Why did Allah say, man qatala nafsan, whosoever kills one soul, it's as if he's killed the entire human race. Why did Allah say that in the Quran? This was revealed in the Torah. Let me give you the reference for this so you can check this up later on. There's a deep meaning here, guys. I'll just give it to you now. SubhanAllah, this is in ayah number 32, surah number 5. Allah says, after talking about the story of the two sons of Adam, He says, "Min ajli dhalik," for that reason, "katabna ala bani Israel," I made it a law for the people of Banu Israel, for the children of, you know, Ishaq, children of Yaqub alayhi salam. Annahu man qatala nafsan bighayri nafs. Whosoever will kill a soul without a right to kill that soul. Aw fasadin fil ard. Whosoever will cause corruption on the earth. فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. It's as if he has killed the entire human race. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الذكر علم ونور، الحاملات سنا ونور، والرسمات هنا سرور، يا حلوى تلك السنين.
The Safar curriculum covers all the Islamic educational needs of young Muslims today in a fun, simple and engaging way. Tried and tested for over 15 years at one of the UK's leading maktabs. The curriculum has been adopted by hundreds of institutions around the world and makes your child's journey in seeking knowledge easy, meaningful and dynamic. This innovative and comprehensive curriculum covers Quran and Tajweed, Islamic studies, du'as and surahs, as well as Arabic in an integrated and structured way. Visit safarpublications.org to find out more.